subject that I'm going to deal with today many times from people. It is somewhat controversial. And the purpose of my preaching this message and dealing with it is not to make anybody feel badly or make anyone feel that if you have been involved in this, that you're going to hell or that you're a pagan. But I think I want to present the Christian perspective, what the Bible says and what I believe is the Christian perspective on the subject of should a Christian be cremated? And I'm asked that question by so many people, so while I have you all here, I'll try to answer all of you at one time. And I hope you will keep an open mind and understand what I said as I preface my remarks by this. But I want you to see something in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now notice these verses. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's important, isn't it? According to the Scriptures. Just like he prophesied. And that he was what? All right, I want you to underscore that word in your mind, in your heart. That he was buried and that he rose again. By the way, bodily resurrection. The third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I ask the question, is cremation Christian? Is cremation Christian? Well, in the Bible, you'll study it and you'll discover that God primarily honors burial, a bodily burial. Read it and think about it and search the Scriptures and you'll find it to be so. In Genesis 23, Abraham thought it was so important, and you don't have to turn there, but he thought it was so important that Sarah be buried and buried in such a way as she was buried. Joseph said, you take my bones when you get out of Egypt and you go into the promised land, take my bones with you and bury them there. God buried Moses in a sepulcher. And as our text reminds us, Jesus was bodily buried, and I believe he is our primary example in all things. And so when we look at baptism, for instance, we baptize a certain way, and there's a reason we do that. And we say we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his what? Death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And it is a picture. And that's why we believe there had to be much water, like Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, so on and so forth. That's a whole other subject. But baptism is symbolic of the death, burial, bodily burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, as you study Scripture, you will discover that, generally speaking, you will find that every time a body is burned, that there is what we might call a cremation, that it is associated with a curse. Study it in the Scriptures, and you'll find that it is associated with that. In Deuteronomy, for instance, with idols and images and all of that, they were burned, because it was symbolic of God's judgment. Fire is more symbolic of the judgment of God. Achan, who was disobedient to God, you remember the story of Achan and his family, and what was their punishment from God because of stealing the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, and so on and so forth? What happened to them? They were burned. They didn't have a regular burial. They were burned. Because it was a dishonor for them not to have what we would call a regular or Christian burial, all right? And so that was why he was burned that way. And so when you study the Bible, generally speaking, you're going to find that it gives a negative, not a positive, connotation in relationship to burial. Now, I think there are some good reasons and positive reasons that we should have a Christian burial. One thing that makes me think of that is our bodies are the temple or tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a preciousness about that relationship. Not only that, we are made members of Christ. And we are part of the body, it's called, of Christ. And then the Bible presents it in 1 Corinthians and other places as a seed of the resurrection, like planting a kernel of corn into the ground and then the resurrection of that corn. And so salvation includes the body, not just your soul and spirit, but your body is part of that. In this life, we are saved, and our bodies should be what? Presented to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We should present our bodies to Christ and yield them to Him. Have you ever done that? If you hadn't, you should. Because that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 12:1. Present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And so salvation includes our bodies that should be surrendered to God after we get saved. And then, of course, our bodies are going to be something that are going to be with us throughout all of eternity, forever and ever. Now, it'll be a little different body. It'll be like Christ, but it'll be a body. And I believe it'll be a recognizable body. But we know that it is fitting, according to the Scriptures, to respect the body. The unsaved, as the secular humanists and all the unsaved, may think that, well, it's practical to cremate, it is sanitary, and it is very economical to cremate. And cremation, I can say, is not going to prevent the future resurrection. Everybody's going to come out of the dirt, out of the grave, or buried at sea, or burned up in a house, or whatever it may be. There is going to be a resurrection. And you don't have to worry about God worrying about that, because God can handle all of that. If He make Adam out of dirt and take a rib and make his wife, He can handle all of that. And he knows all about that. But there will be a resurrection. Those that are saved will go to the judgment seat of Christ. Later, those that are unsaved will be raised, and they will have a body, and they will go at the great white throne judgment, and it will be a body that is in hell forever and ever, separated from God. But I believe it's important that we recognize a relationship. This is the most important thing, the relationship of not the body to Christ, but listen to me, the soul and the spirit. That's the important thing. What is the relationship today of your soul and your spirit in relationship to Jesus Christ? In other words, are you born again? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I can tell you, anybody in hell would give anything in exchange to get out of hell. It's just too late for them. They can't get out of there. But you can see that the important thing, the most important thing, I emphasize, is a relationship, the spiritual relationship you have with God, your soul and spirit. Now, what about the history of cremation? I touched on it a little bit, but we go back and there would be the ancient heathen people. And you go back and study some of the earliest cultures and all that we can have any kind of record about. And they always venerated fire and made fire almost something that they worship. And so they would, many times when they're people would die, they would build campfires and have circle around those campfires and burn the bodies of their loved ones very quickly up on those campfires, because they believed that this would be the best way to dispose of the dead and It would do something about freeing their spirit up. And then you had the nomadic tribes. They would put them in an urn and carry the urn with them everywhere they went. And they associated much of that with the soul and the spirit. You had the Vikings in history who would put a body on a boat and send that boat out into the ocean. They'd set it on fire and push it away and let it burn those people up in the boat. In India right now, it's hard to believe, and I was over there a few years back, but in India right now, many times they still do that very same thing. They burn up the bodies, and in fact, if it were not for a British mandate, many times the women, if it was their husband, they would jump on the fire with their husbands to be burned up with them, thinking somehow that helped unite their souls and take them to heaven together, or to the happy wherever they're going to be, or reincarnation, or whatever that they believed in. Then the Roman Empire came along, and they had their cultural teachings about that. And in the last days of the existence of the power of the Roman Empire, they accommodated themselves to the Greek idea. And the Greek idea that was very popular during that time was that fire created everything that was living. That was what they taught, that somehow it all went back to fire. It's sort of like the people that believe in the Big Bang theory. They believe there was a mass of hot gas and so on and so forth, but it's not so far fetched from what the Greeks were teaching about every living thing. And so they said, if you don't burn up the body, then the soul and spirit cannot be freed from that body and go back to what it should have been in the beginning. And then all of this finally ceased in the Western world for a period of time, because the Roman Catholic Church, under an edict, which was a very important edict from Charlemagne, AD 800, stopped that nonsense of burning up those bodies by everybody, and the women jumping on the graves and on the bodies and being burned up with them. And they even put a death penalty with it so that they could stop that practice. Let me read you a quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica. There can be no doubt that the practice of cremation in Europe was at the first stopped and then prevented in great measure by the Christian doctrine, get that now, by the Christian doctrine of the resurrection of the body, partly also the notion that the Christian body was redeemed and purified. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica gives testimony to the fact that the thing that caused them to quit doing much of that was the Christians and their respect for the body and knowing what the body taught, what the body symbolized, and so on and so forth. Then you have the renewal of that coming in because of the secular humanist. The secular humanist, and that's a religion, revived it again. They brought it back. They brought it back into vogue. It started with an Italian scientist by the name of Bernetti, and he came up with a method, devised a method for for cremation. And then, of course, they've revised that and improved it, and now there are crematories all over the United States that are used very often. Now, that should not surprise us, because that's the same crowd that purports that primarily, and I'm trying to be as kind as I can, and I'm not trying to make you feel paganistic, but I'm telling you there is an association. There is an association. But those are the same people that believe in abortion. Those are the same people that believe in mercy killing. Those are the same people that purport that euthanasia is all right, and that all fits into the very same kind of secular thinking with no respect for the remains or the body of a human being, especially a body there in the womb. And so the whole thrust of that group is a disrespect for the human body. And the human body, we are created in the image of God. You say, yeah, that's trichotomatic, body, soul, and spirit, and all of that. Doesn't mean physical. Well, then tell me why Jesus had a human body. Jesus did have a human body. Now, it wasn't It was a sinless one, thank God, but it was. So here's a question. Is cremation practical? Many people think because you can have a very simple, it simplifies the process. Now you can just have a drive-through deal, you know, set the urn in the deal, drive-through and say, I respect you, and drive on. And you might sign a little register there or something. That's happening all over the place. But many believe it simplifies, it saves a lot of money. Now, sociologically, and I know that's a big word for independent Baptists to deal with, and we don't like to deal with it a whole lot, but there are some things that can happen, reasons for burial that are good, that are very important. And the reasons, as I said, that are usually given are the economy. It's very simple to take care of, and there's some things like, you know, I want you to spread my remains out on the football field where I was a hero and out where I used to fish and so on and so forth. But, and then others talk about the cost. Actually, if you really do a very thorough study, you'll find out that the cost of cremation and the cost of a good burial is not too far different. Not really, if you really know and you really study it out. Now, one of the things that I think God has given us is the ability for the viewing and the funeral and even the procession to the graveyard, and all of that is designed to meet in the Christian culture our sociological, emotional needs. Friends need closure. Family needs closure. They need that, and that helps give closure. And it brings many times the family together in a relationship that otherwise they would not have. And neighbors are able to show compassion. And then I believe there are some spiritual reasons that are there. We are identified by our bodies. You know me from my body, such as it is. You know Brother Johnson from his body and his face. You certainly know Brother Rigsby and the rest of us, you know, from our bodies. And that expresses to you who we are. And you say, there goes so-and-so, there goes so-and-so. If we were faceless and bodiless, we wouldn't have any problem with that, would we? But we attach identification that is very unique with our bodies. And the body of a deceased loved one should be, I think, very, very precious to us. Very, very precious. Unique. And so it gives us closure, and some of the physiological, or rather psychological, problems can come when people do not have a real genuine closure of a knowing and understanding that the body of that person they recognized, they knew, was buried, and they know that they have gone and been buried. And then the preparing of the body, the flowers, the beauty, the beautiful things that surround all of that, I think it makes it far more bearable for the people that are giving up a loved one. And they're able to accept death and experience grief. And I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm just showing you the other side of it. And I believe that it helps with the healing, the quicker healing, and the closure of those who have lost a loved one. And it gives comfort. The body, we know, is at rest, and the soul and spirit are with Jesus Christ. And we have that closure. But now here's the most important fact. Let's get back to that. The most important fact is not the body. Is not the body. But the most important fact is your soul and spirit. And your body, whether you cremate or not, and I believe that the Christian testimony would be better if we did not do it. I believe that that is a conviction I have. And I believe that it would speak well of us that we understand who we are and the body and Christ and our relationship. And probably our testimonies would be better as believers, as Christians. I was told once by a funeral director that one of the ways that this got started as far as knowing some of the things that they knew about the history of it was that it started with those who were burned up Christians, as they would burn them up on a cross or something, and they would say, now let's see your God raise those ashes. And so that's a little bit a part of the history of cremation, at least part of it. But it's not the body, but the soul and spirit that are so important. And we need to care for the body while we're on earth, but we need to understand that the most important thing is, where is your soul and spirit going to spend eternity? What's going to happen when your body is back in the grave? And that's so important, more important than your body after death. And listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. The scripture says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I believe there's a great picture there that gives us comfort to show us that our loved ones have passed away, and in their bodies they've been taken, and maybe in a crypt or whatever it may be, placed in a casket. They have gone on, they in their soul and spirit, if they were saved, are with the Lord. And the body is awaiting the resurrection. And we will go up to meet them in the air, and we're not going to be angels with wings as we go forth. God's going to give us a translated body as believers immediately, and the body of those who have died in Christ is going to be raised, and we'll both go up together, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you've taken care of the soul and spirit matter, but you've got to take care of that. So it doesn't matter if you spend thousands of dollars on your funeral, or if you don't spend much money at all on the funeral, or somewhere in between. It does nothing, absolutely nothing, to save a spirit and a soul that has been separated from God. Does nothing to save that person's soul and spirit. What I'm simply saying is that it ought to be taken care of before. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. And whether you're cremated or whether you're not, and I prefer that people would not be, and I'm not comfortable with it, and if my wife cremates me, I'm going to come back and say, "You shouldn't have done that." I'm going to haunt her until she gets it right. But the important thing you've got to understand is not so much that, though I think it has some testimonial value to it. The important thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know your sins are under the blood? Do you know you have been forgiven? Now, let's go back to Romans 12:1. What should we do with our bodies now? The body is precious. The body is recognizable. The body is a house that we live in. And God says, no matter who we are, we're to use our bodies to glorify God. That's why we preach modesty. That's why we preach that you should be careful about habits that you have that will hurt and hinder the tabernacle, the temple of the living God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, lives in you? He does. Do you think the Holy Spirit is some influence floating around somewhere? No. He is the third person of the Godhead, co-equal with the Father and the Son, and He lives in your body today, if you're saved. So what are you doing with your body? Are you surrendering it to Him for service, living in your body so that your body is totally committed to God? Are you using it for bad habits, wrong things? Are you using it for pornography and doing those things and seeing with the eyes things you shouldn't see, lusting for things you shouldn't lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life that all enters into it? Our bodies, if we're saved, have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. They do not belong to us. They belong to Him. And we should use our bodies in everything that we do to bring honor and glory to God. That takes care of a lot of territory. A lot of territory. But then, my friend, be sure that you know that your soul and spirit are right with God, that you've been born again, and if you died today, you're going to heaven. You may not have a choice. Somebody may cremate you and you don't have a choice in it. But you have a choice right now. Where am I going to spend eternity? Where am I going when I die? And you're not going to be annihilated and you're not going to go into non-existence. You're going to be in heaven or hell, one or the other. No in between. And I say that as kindly as I can. There is a hell to gain and a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And my friend, you don't want to die and go to hell. Settle it in this life about your soul and spirit. And then the body will take care of itself. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's someone here who has not taken care of the matter of their soul's eternal destination, that they would recognize that that's far more important than where they're going to die and the way they're going to die and how they're going to be buried. God, that it determines their eternal destiny. May they be saved today. I pray, God, you'd break their hearts, humble them, show them the truth, reveal to them Jesus and salvation by grace through His finished work. Help them to recognize there's no other way to heaven other than coming by way of the cross, receiving Jesus as their Savior. And God, help us as believers to bear a good, solid testimony. And even though there may be some things that are permissible, they may not always be the best. Help us to long to make the best decisions and to have the strongest testimony and the best testimony that we can for your glory that would reflect the Word of God. And then help us to give our bodies as living sacrifices to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.